back to the campfire. At this week's meeting of the Midnight Society, we are going to complete our series on cybersecurity, at least for the moment, and have another, hopefully short, conversation on the role of social media companies in reshaping the American political and cultural landscape. If you're joining us, this is part 3 of our cybersecurity episode. You can check out our YouTube page, The Civic Flame, for some important TED Talks, and get to the 2 other episodes on bot farming and rage farming if you're interested. If you're here for our constitutional law education, that's The Civic Flame, our main podcast, and you can head on over to those episodes as well. If you've been on this journey with us over the last 3 episodes, I've been promising to drop some recommendations your way, and today I'm going to do that. So hopefully I'll get off the couch, have a herniated disc, and do a YouTube book review for some of these things soon. But in the meantime, here's the quick scoop. Last time we talked about bot farms and rage farms. If you missed those, here's the short story. Tech companies allow and encourage these bot farms, which are usually AI-based programs that sell likes, comments, saves, follows, and shares on social media posts. They help drive up the algorithm that decides what you see and who your recommendations are. Rage farming is how they go about it. They sow and harvest rage because that keeps people on the platforms and keeps the algorithms working. Now that we're all caught up, grab your tinfoil hat and your book bag and follow me. As I mentioned last week, if you're a visual kind of friend like me, or you like to see someone lay the data out and the stories and give you some context, I've got a few recommendations on that front. If you have access to HBO Max, I recommend watching the CNN HBO docuseries 2010s, specifically the episode called The Social Media Boom, or the movie 2073. I know 2073 is a dystopian science fiction movie, but a huge chunk of it is actually told through so-called flashbacks, which are real news clips for the modern day. It is deeply disturbing from the collection of real news clips. The story itself leaves a lot to be desired, despite the high quality acting, but I did find the news clips really interesting, and I've included some of them on my YouTube page at The Civic Flame. In this political scientist's opinion, despite its limitations, 2073 makes a pretty good case for where we're headed if we don't get this AI bot farming, rage farming technology thing under control. Basically, we're in a war with the machines, and if we don't win, we're going to have some problems. If you have access to Netflix, I also recommend The Turning Point, the Cold War and the Bomb episode, especially the last 3 episodes, The End of History, Moscow Will Not Be Silent, and We Are Not Dead Yet. They offer some great context on the development of social media and its use in international espionage over the last few years. Several of these episodes discuss the use of social media as counterterrorism problems. The documentary Zero Days on Apple TV discusses the Stuxnet virus that we still don't know a whole lot about. I started watching that and got a little paranoid, so I'm going to have to go back and watch it a little more. But watch that one if you need some trouble sleeping at night. I also recommend the book Careless People by former Facebook exec Sarah Wynn Williams. She discusses her personal journey from believing Facebook could be a global force for good to seeing what it became, which is a true disappointment because I think she's right that it could have been so much more. You look at these tech bros and you realize that if they'd been just a little less greedy, they could still have their $1 billion and their many yachts and be flying themselves to the moon, and yet they'd be remembered like Pericles as great heroes or leaders. But the greed got them so hard that they are going to go down in history as villains. And Wynn Williams' really kind of documentary book, or maybe docudrama book, deep dives into things like internet.org, Facebook China's policy, and just how much they knew about the harm they were causing as they caused it. And as she put it, they just did not give a fork. She didn't say fork, but I swore at you in the last one, I figured I'd take it easy this time. If you're rolling with YouTube and podcasts, Behind the Bastards does several episodes on variations of the Facebook papers and the social media things that I'm working through now. They cover some key elements of controversies like Brexit, rage farming, etc. Why am I throwing all of this at you? Because it's important to have good sources, and the fact that we so often don't is kind of the point of this campfire. It's not just that bots and rage farming are happening. It's that they are deliberately dragging us all down to an unreality where democracy cannot exist, and we are too hateful, mistrustful, and exhausted to try and fight back. Anne Applebaum writes in her book, The Twilight of Democracy, about several of these key elements, among them the need for truth as a shared basis for reality. I'd recommend that book, although I like the audiobook, which you can get for free through your public library. If you're looking for short, easy reads, Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny is a good one, as is Jason Stanley's How Fascism Worked. For shorter article-length reads on a lot of these tech things and several interesting news reports in general, intelligence reports, and so on, I recommend the CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is a bipartisan nonprofit group that's kind of stacked with intelligence experts who deeply love the United States and want us to be safe and secure. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist, also solid place to go for information here. What they all show is that we are already living in a serious time of misinformation and fake news that is deliberately constructed for the profit of a handful of tech bros. It turns out that the technopocalypse wasn't going to be the Terminators coming after us. It was going to be AI manipulating our sense of reality. These articles discuss how these rage farmers, including a few hundred kids in Macedonia who made money building fake news and fake social organization pages on Facebook, would do something genuinely crazy. These kids would set up protests outside a mosque or a church or something by acting like community members or small groups. Once they got enough people committed to going, they would set up a counter-protest in the same space. The goal was on-the-street chaos, and it worked. Just as Black Lives Matter was taking off online with real civil rights protesters, Blue Lives Matter was being pushed by these kind of astroturf click farms and bot farms to engage people. Think about it. There's no real reason Black Lives Matter means that anyone else doesn't matter. And it certainly doesn't mean that police or so-called blue lives don't matter. Who made that up? The bot farms and the rage farms. They wanted people to infiltrate and counter Black Lives Matter. But normal people aren't in favor of police violence. So the bot farms and the click farms changed the narrative. They created a fake fight between BLM and the police, calling it Blue Lives Matter, and convinced people on the ground that they needed to take sides. You saw the thinness of this rhetoric, particularly of the Blue Lives Matter, on full display on January 6th when insurrectionists, decked out in Blue Lives Matter merch, beat police officer Michael Fanone with their Blue Lives Matter flags. They threatened to kill him with his own gun and tased him so badly he had to retire. Why? Because blue lives never mattered to them. The rage did. And that rage was deliberately directed and encouraged to make them overthrow the government, all with the assistance of social media companies that made a lot of money off of doing so. This is why the tech bros went for Trump this year. The Democrats wanted to break up big tech and hold them accountable. There's every reason to believe that Facebook and other platforms are responsible for all sorts of on-the-ground political violence. They faced accusations of precipitating the genocide in Myanmar, which we discussed last week, of helping China crack down on pro-democracy protests, and so on. We are walking into a different problem now with Facebook and TikTok, leaning on information techs who've had working relationships with the Israeli military. It's no wonder pro-Palestinian speech is censored. And of course, Twitter, or X, is a known haven for neo-Nazi speech. This shouldn't surprise you terribly. A billionaire owns Twitter. A different billionaire owns the LA Times. Another different billionaire owns both the Wall Street Journal and Fox News. Another billionaire owns CBS, and I think as of now, that same billionaire owns TikTok. And still another billionaire owns Facebook and Instagram. And of course, there are the billionaire controllers of Disney, which includes Hulu and ABC. And I want to be clear that this list, while exhausting, is not exhaustive. There are plenty of these other billionaires who own our information sphere. You can actually just Google who owns which information company, go to Yahoo Finance, and see who their majority shareholders are. Or go to opensecrets.org, and you can take a look at where a lot of the money is going in our political campaigns. And the effect this is having is catastrophic in terms of ecological problems, particularly water shortages, potential power grid and electricity issues, and from AI-generated content algorithms. These are all massively bad for the actual physical planet. And that's probably why these billionaires are building 20-story underground survival bunkers. That's true, by the way. I recommend that you Google, which is another multi-billion dollar company that also owns YouTube, Google the conspiracy correlation matrix, and you'll see how YouTube uses its algorithm to basically offer viewers increasingly incendiary and addictive conspiracy theories and drag them down rabbit holes. So this week has been about giving you some tools to understand the landscape of the fight that you've been fighting and to help you fight it better. So this week was a recap of the bot farms and the rage farms with a lot of book recommendations. Why? Because this entire information sphere of non-reality is, well, at least to a political scientist, Plato's cave on steroids. How do you get out of the cave? I'm throwing all these sources at you so you can fashion a ladder and drag yourself out and drag your friends up with you. And we'll share more videos on the YouTube channel at The Civic Flame. Until next time, keep climbing out of that cave and I'll meet you on the other side. And thanks for joining the good fight. This campfire edition of The Civic Flame is brought to you by Dr. Fun Sponge Media in association with creator Amber Veo and sound producer Matthew Munyon. As always, thanks for listening.